Title: Automation Lane Cleanup from Scratch in Ableton Live 12, Drum and Bass Edition Intermediate. Alright, let's do a proper automation lane cleanup from scratch in Ableton Live 12, specifically for drum and bass. Because automation is the difference between a loop that just repeats and a track that feels alive, but it's also where sessions turn into spaghetti fast, random breakpoints everywhere, automation fighting modulation, and that classic moment where you're like, why is my bass wobbling right there? By the end of this lesson, you'll have a clean, repeatable workflow to diagnose messy automation, wipe the junk safely, rebuild automation with intention, and organize your lanes so you can actually read the song. Here's what we're building conceptually: a tidy 16 to 32 bar DNB arrangement with clean automation on your drum bus, break layer, bass bus, FX sends, and just a tiny bit of safe pre-master control. The big theme is this: fewer lanes, fewer points, clearer shapes, and zero conflicts. Let's start with step 0, set up your project structure so cleanup later is easy. Open Ableton Live 12 and head to Arrangement View. Before you touch automation, group your session in a way that matches how you actually think while producing DNB. Create a drums group with kick, snare, hats and percussion, a break layer, and then a drum bus processing path. Create a bass group with a sub track, a mid or a reese track, and then a bass bus. Add a music group for pads and stabs and atmos, an effects group for impacts, risers, vocal chops, and then your returns for reverb, delay, and maybe one gnarlier distorted reverb return. And keep a short list of stock devices ready because these are automation best friends: auto filter, saturator, drum bus, glue compressor, utility, echo, reverb or hybrid reverb, and a limiter just as a temporary safety rail while you're rebuilding. Teacher note here: a live automation mess comes from having 5 different tracks all doing the same movement. If you build your buses early, you automate one place instead of 5. That's the whole game. Now step 1. Reveal automation clearly and diagnose what's messy. Hit it to toggle automation mode. Immediately, your job is not to fix anything yet. Your job is to observe. Click a track title bar, and use the automation chooser in the lane area to cycle through parameters. Scroll through and look for the classic culprits: tons of tiny breakpoints from recording knob moves, automation written on the wrong track, or conflicts like filter cutoff being automated while an LFO or a macro is also moving it. When you find a messy section, select a time range and hit Z to zoom to the time selection. You want to get close enough that you can actually see what's going on instead of guessing. Now, quick coach mode addition: keep an eye on Ableton's automation status behavior. If something sounds wrong and you're hunting blindly, look at the top bar for that orange back to arrangement indicator. That's Ableton telling you, hey, something you touched in session view or with a controller is overriding your arrangement automation. Click it and snap back to the arrangement. This alone fixes a surprising amount of my automation isn't working moments. Also, click the parameter you think is misbehaving, like auto filter frequency. If it keeps moving when you're not touching anything, that's a huge clue: some other control source is driving it. Okay, step 2. Delete junk automation safely without breaking your mix. We'll do this the best practice way first, clearing a single parameter lane. Pick one messy lane. For example, on your break layer, choose auto filter, then frequency. Before you delete anything, set the device knob to a sensible default, because when you remove automation, Ableton will fall back to the current knob value. Now highlight the time region where the automation is messy and hit delete. That area returns to your current knob value, and the lane becomes clean. Perfect. This is the move you'll do 90% of the time in DNB. Someone recorded a hype filter sweep. It sounded cool in the moment, but now it's full of jitter and it's impossible to edit. Wipe it. Redraw it. There is a second option: clearing all automation in a time range. You can select time on the top timeline, right-click in the arrangement area, and use the clear automation option that Live offers. Use that carefully. It can be helpful if you know you're rebuilding almost everything, but it's also a great way to accidentally delete your send automation, which in DNB is basically your transition magic. If you do a wide clear, immediately check your sends and returns after. Now step 3. Rebuild automation from scratch using clean, intentional shapes. We'll rebuild 4 core areas: bass pre-drop tension, drum punch evolution, break layer movement, and transition throws. And the rule is: clean shapes, minimal points, and automation in the right place. First, the pre-drop tension: a bass low-pass sweep that's readable and controlled. Go to your bass bus track, not the individual bass layers. Add an auto filter set to low pass, 24 dB. After it, add saturator with soft clip on, and optionally glue compressor for gentle control. Now show auto filter frequency automation on the bass bus. In the last two bars before the drop, do a sweep from roughly 200 Hz up to around 2 to 4 kHz. Keep it musical, you're opening the sound into the drop. Then add one tiny dip right before the drop, like the last eighth note, for a little suck-in moment. That dip is a small thing, but in DNB it reads huge because it creates contrast. Teacher note, try to do this with no more than 3 to 5 breakpoints. Start point, end point, and maybe one intentional shape change. If your sweep needs 47 points, it's not a sweep, it's a mistake. Second, drum punch lift, subtle drive increase in the drop. Go to your drum bus, or the drums group bus if that's where your processing sits. Add drum bus, set drive somewhere in the 5 to 15% zone as a starting point. Crunch is optional. Boom is usually off or very subtle for DNB, because too much boom can make your low end flabby and fight the bass. Now automate drum bus drive in the second to 8 bars of the drop. Think of it as drop B gets meaner. We're talking a small increase, like 3 to 8%, not a huge jump. And here's the discipline part. If the drive increase makes it louder, compensate. Automate the drum bus output slightly down, or better yet, place a utility after drum bus and use that as your gain guardrail. The goal is not louder. The goal is more attitude at the same perceived level. Third, jungle flavor, break layer filter movement and micro mutes. On your break layer track, put an auto filter, band pass or high pass depending on the vibe. Add a utility after it for quick, clean mutes and simple level control. Now automate the filter frequency with small rhythmic movement, not constant waving. Think phrases, not wobble. A little lift into a fill, a little close down before a drop. Small gestures that support the groove. Then add one or two quick utility, gain dips to negative infinity for a 16th or a 8th note, right before a fill or transition. This gives you that chopped, jungle energy without needing a bunch of editing. Extra coach tip. If you recorded messy filter automation and you're tempted to delete everything, you can also simplify without losing the vibe. Keep only the musical anchors, the start, the peak, and any intentional rhythmic hits. Delete the rest, then redraw a smooth curve between anchors. You keep the feeling, you lose the clutter. Fourth, transition throws, reverb and delay without laying chaos. Best practice in live is to automate send amounts, not the wet/dry on the return device. Wet/dry automation gets messy, and it makes recall inconsistent. Send automation is cleaner and more standard. Set up return A as reverb. Try hybrid reverb, with a short plate for drums. Then put a Q8 after it and roll off lows below about 200 to 400 Hz, so the reverb doesn't mud your mix. Set up return B as delay. Put echo on it, set it to 1/8 or 1/4, engage low cut, and consider an auto filter after echo to darken the repeats. Now automate a snare reverb throw. On the snare track, automate send it to ramp up quickly on the last snare hit before the drop, then snap back to zero. That snapback is what keeps it as a throw instead of turning your whole section into a washy mess. For delay throws, you can automate the send amount too, and if you want one special moment, automate echo feedback just for that throw, and then immediately return it to safe values. And a safety mindset here, echo feedback can go nuclear. If you want a more ominous tail without pushing feedback into danger, keep feedback moderate, and automate a low-pass filter after echo closing down over the tail. It feels like the delay intensifies and recedes, but the level stays controlled. Now step 4, make automation lanes readable. This is the cleanup payoff. First rule, keep automation at the right level. Bass movement lives on the bass bus. Drum tone and punch lives on the drum bus. FX throws live and sends, and only on tracks that actually need them. Master automation should be minimal. If you need overall tweaks, do it on a pre-master utility rather than a bunch of master fader moves. Second rule, reduce lanes by automating macros. On your bass bus, make an auto effect rack. Map macro 1 to auto filter frequency and name it LP sweep. Map macro 2 to saturator drive and name it dirt. Map macro 3 to an EQ8 high shelf gain if you want an air cut or air boost macro. Map macro 4 to utility width if you want, but be careful. Keep the sub mono and stable. Now automate the macro instead of multiple device parameters. One lane that reads like a story is better than four lanes you have to babysit. Advanced variation you can use a lot in DNB. Build a macro called intensity that moves multiple things at once. Saturator drive goes up, filter opens a bit, maybe compressor threshold changes slightly and utility gain compensates a touchdown. Then you automate just intensity from build to drop to second 8. One lane to rule them all, and it's insanely readable. Third rule, standardize your lane order so your eyes learn your template. For example, per group, you might keep utility controls first, then tone like filter or EQ, then character like saturation, then space like sends, then one special moment lane like tape stop or stutter. If your lanes always appear in a similar order, you'll spot errors instantly, like a send ramp happening in the wrong place. Also, name things clearly. If your rack is called base bus rack and the macro is LP sweep, you'll see base bus rack, LP sweep in automation, and you won't have to guess what lane you're looking at. Color coding helps too. Warm colors for drums, dark blues or purples for bass, neon greens for FX. The goal is to be able to scroll the arrangement and understand it at a glance. Now step 5, check for automation conflicts, the silent killer. If a parameter isn't behaving, it's usually one of these. You're automating a parameter inside a rack, but also moving the macro that controls it. You recorded controller data and forgot, or an LFO or modulator is moving the same parameter at the same time. Here's the 30-second triage sequence. Click the problem parameter. If it's moving when it shouldn't, start toggling devices off one by one. Filter, LFO, modulation tools, racks. The moment it stops, you found the driver. Then decide what's the boss in that moment, arrangement, automation, or modulation. Don't stack them unless you mean to, because otherwise you get unpredictable results and you'll never trust your session. Now let's hit common mistakes quickly so you can avoid them while cleaning. Don't automate every bass layer separately. Put movement on the bass bus and keep the sub stable. This audio version is shortened for playback.